Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this conditional use hearing scheduled for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023 at 6 p.m. It's approximately 6:02 p.m. This time, we're going to call the meeting to order and ask Mr. Crisman to conduct the roll.
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
You're five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Seeing as all members of the board are present, we'll move on to the next item. Before we get to new business, just normal housekeeping announcement, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. These minutes anymore are also recorded and then posted as audio. So it's very important that when people are speaking, we adhere to the basic rule that only one person speaks at a time, and that if you're speaking, you properly identify yourself so that the meeting minutes are accurate, not just in writing, but for the audio. So with that, the first item on the agenda, or the agenda for this hearing, under new business is A, it's the public hearing regarding conditional use application number 2023-01 is filed by the Hershey Lumberyard LLC for the property located at 267 and 339 West Chocolate Avenue. The applicant is proposing dwellings for employees and students use on the above referenced property. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Armstrong, our solicitor, in case there's anything he wants to add, and then we'll open it up the hearing.
Sure. Thank you. As the chairman indicated, we're here for a public hearing this evening on the application of Hershey Lumberyard LLC for a conditional use to proceed with a dwelling for employees and students pursuant to Section 225-501.56 of the Derry Township Zoning Ordinance. The application is for the proposed use on parcel numbers 24-014-018, 24-009-014, and 24-003-071 at the location of 267 and 339 West Chocolate Avenue. This conditional use application and hearing has been advertised pursuant to the MPC and the zoning ordinance of Derry Township. And with that, we will proceed with some housekeeping items. The applicant is represented, correct?
Correct.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
You need to turn that on in the bottom. Hold that button in until the green light comes on.
Can you hear me?
Thank you.
My name is Zachary Sivers, and I'm an attorney with the firm of Eastwood & Gray. I'm here tonight on behalf of Hershey Lumberyard LLC and the Hershey Trust, which is the Hershey Trust Company trustee of the Milton Hershey School Trust.
Okay, before I hand it over to you, I do have a few other items. I see there are a number of people in the audience this evening. I suspect some of them will be witnesses for the applicant at the hearing. Is there anyone in the audience that is requesting party status in this hearing? You know, what does party status mean? If you're not granted party status, does that mean this board is not going to let you make a statement towards the end of the hearing, or make a statement on the record? That's probably not the case. However, if you want to cross-examine witnesses and potentially have the right to appeal, and if you feel like you are an aggrieved party or live close to and are interested in the application, it would be appropriate to ask for party status. So with that, is there anyone in the audience that is requesting party status? And I'd ask you to step up to the podium, identify yourself, your address, if you own property near or adjacent to the applicant's property, and how you feel you're impacted or going to be aggrieved by the application.
Sure. Diane Leonard and Mike Leonard, who will introduce himself, 337 West Chocolate Avenue. When you see the maps, we're right in the center of the parcel under discussion, so we're interested because it's happening all around us, and we're trying to keep up with what's happening. Thank you.
And you said, I'm sorry, Joanne.
Diane, yes, thank you.
Mike Leonard, representing Mike Leonard's Plumbing
who rents the building for Mike and Diane Leonard.
And the address?
337 West Chocolate Avenue.
No objection. No objection to both the Diane Leonard and Michael Leonard. Correct. They're directly abutting. They're literally surrounded on three sides of the project. So,
okay, with that, Diane Leonard and Michael Leonard, you'll be admitted as parties in the case. Is there anyone else in the audience that is requesting party status in this application in this hearing?
My name is Phil Kaufman. I live at the Hershey Plaza at 215 West Chocolate Avenue.
Can you spell your last name, please?
K-A-U-F-M-A-N.
And your first name again?
Phil, P-H-I-L.
And your address at the plaza?
It's 215 West Chocolate Avenue.
When you say plaza, it's in the... It's a building that's immediately adjacent to...
It's adjacent. It's right in our backyard.
Okay. Mr. Kaufman, what is the... does the plaza property directly abut the property?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's right by it.
No objection.
No objection from the applicant?
No.
Mr. Kaufman, do you own the property?
I would actually raise an objection if he's a tenant. I would say that he would need to be here and have the authority of the owner of the property. So I'll just put that on the record.
Could you turn on the mic?
Yes, I'm a tenant.
You're a tenant?
Yes.
But you live there full-time?
I live there full-time.
You're a resident of the property immediately adjacent to the applicant's property?
Correct. Right.
You have no other residency... that you reside in?
No, just a plaza. But I do have some things I would like to say about this.
Okay, and like I said, there will be an opportunity for you to speak or make a statement or even ask questions of the witnesses, but at this time we're just determining whether or not you're entitled to party status.
All right.
Mr. Silverstone, do you have anything further?
I mean, I would say that as a tenant, he doesn't necessarily have the right to be a party to the application. There's going to be plenty of opportunity for public comment to hear his point of view and his opinion on the application. There is no authority from the actual property owner.
Am I not a citizen of Hershey?
So, Mr. Kaufman, my question to you is, do you want to simply make statements on the record in relation to the application,
and make
your opinion and your concerns known for this board to consider?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, do you wish to cross-examine witnesses and submit evidence, or simply make statements on the record for the board?
I would like to just make statements.
Okay, so with that, it might be actually more appropriate for, we're going to allow you to make those statements whether or not you're a party or not. When you're a party, you're actually a party in the case, you're submitting evidence, you're making your cross-examining witnesses. So it sounds like you may just simply want to make statements on the record when that opportunity is afforded to you by the board for the board to take into consideration. Does that seem acceptable to you?
All right, okay, that's fine. As long as I can make statements.
Yep, is that all you're looking for, the ability to make statements?
Yep.
Okay, so with that, I think, do you want to withdraw your request to be party in this case with the understanding that this board will give you that opportunity to make statements on the record?
All right, as long as I can make the statement, I can withdraw, yes.
So you're withdrawing the request for party status?
Yes.
Okay, so let the record reflect that Mr. Kaufman has withdrawn his request to be a party in the case with the understanding that he'll be given the opportunity to make statements for this board to take into consideration with respect to the application.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Is there anyone else in the public this evening that is going to request party status? Seeing none, let the record reflect that no one else is requesting party status. So before I hand it over to the applicant, I will mark certain exhibits for the township. What we'll mark as Township 1 is a copy of the applicant's conditional use application. It is a two-page application. What we'll mark as Township 2 is the narrative
submitted with the applicant's application. Looks like it's a 6-page document. We'll mark as T3, Township 3. It is a copy of the proof of publication, and I will note for the record, it looks like this public hearing was advertised in both the Patriot News and the Sun. So T3 will be both those proofs of publication. What we'll mark as T4 are the affidavits of the zoning officer with respect to the mailings of the public notice to the applicant, the neighboring property owners, for notice of tonight's public hearing. And what we'll mark as T5 is a copy of the notice of the public hearing, as well as photographs evidencing the fact that the property that this application is the subject of was properly posted pursuant to the MPC. With that, are there any objections from the applicant with exhibits T1 through T5?
No objection.
Any objections from Diane Leonard and Michael Leonard with respect to T1 through T5? So with that, the township's exhibits will be admitted into the record. Are there any questions or comments from the board at this point before we hand over to the applicant?
I just want to reiterate, though, for the Leonards, because I don't know if we did a good job of explaining this. We're a little more clear with Mr. Kaufman. So you have been accepted as an interested party. So as the testimony unfolds, you will get a point. There'll be a point in time for you to ask your own questions. The only reason I tell you that is I don't want you to be surprised and caught off guard when Mr. Armstrong looks to you and says, "Mr. and Mrs. Leonard, would you like to now question?" I mean, you'll want to be thinking about questions during the testimony. Other than that, and if you're good with that, we're all good. Other than that, I just want to make sure nobody was caught off guard.
And just to follow up on that, not just the opportunity to ask what questions of the applicant's witnesses, but in the event that you want to present testimony or evidence on your own part as a party, you're able to do that at the appropriate time. Okay? So with that, this is a public hearing. We're going to hand it over to the applicant to present their case. I would suggest whichever witnesses you plan on presenting tonight to maybe have them sworn in the beginning so we don't have to go through that again.
All right. Briefly, this evening we're going to be presenting two witnesses. I understand that we have a limited amount of time this evening and you're hoping to get into the witness testimony. So I would just have Scott Davis and Amy Kronenberg
I'm sorry, could you say the last person's name?
Scott Davis and Amy Kronenberg.
How do you spell that?
K-R-O-N-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Could you raise your right hands? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
All right. I'll provide a brief introduction. This is not the first time that this matter has been before the board. You'll recall that a few months ago we were before you related to a zoning amendment, which was actually creating the conditional use for which we're currently seeking approval under. We're proposing a 118-unit building for transitional and employer support housing, as well as associated parking, landscaping, lighting, and stormwater management facilities. As your solicitor has no doubt and no doubt will inform you if he hasn't already, the conditional use is a use that's permitted under the zoning ordinance subject to certain defined criteria in the zoning ordinance. Essentially, once we've established that we check all the boxes, there's a presumption that arises that we are entitled to pursue that use on our property. And then the burden shifts to any objectors to establish that this use is going to have detrimental impact on the community, on public welfare, greater than what is typically associated with that use on our property. So this evening, we're going to be presenting two witnesses. The first witness is going to be our architect. Second witness is going to testify as to the requirements in Appendix E of the zoning ordinance related to financial impact. We're presenting these two witnesses initially to give the board a flavor of what the whole project is going to look like, kind of see what the vision for it is for our architect, and then establish that we not only are meeting the criteria for financial impact, but that we're going to have a very positive financial impact on the community. I think that We are then going to be presenting at our next hearing testimony from our engineer and our traffic engineer. I anticipate that their testimony will be a little lengthier and probably raise a lot more questions and discussion topics among the board, so that's why we've kind of pushed those off to the next hearing based on the limited time that we have here this evening. I do have as my first exhibit, I have a copy of the three deeds for the three parcels that are at issue. And I have an authorization letter from the Hershey Trust Company, trustee of the Milton Hershey School Trust, authorizing Hershey Lumberyard LLC and its representatives and agents to bring this application. I have a few copies. I don't know if one copy is sufficient for the solicitor.
You can hand it up and then maybe give a copy over to Chuck. And then I'll ask for it. And what are you marking this as? Applicant.
I think it would probably make sense to mark that as A1.
And what has been handed up is a pack of documents with an August 22nd, 2023 cover letter from Mr. Kenneth Dahl from the Hershey Trust Company. And attached thereto are, here's some deeds. Number of deeds.
Probably best to just refer to them by the parcel numbers of each one. That might be the cleanest way to do it for the record.
Well, are you going to have someone testify for us? That's accurate.
I can have someone testify if you'd like me to. I mean, I think the deeds.
No. So what's been attached to the cover letter of what's been marked as applicant one is a general warranty deed for UPI number 24-014-018, general warranty deed with UPI number 24-009-014, and a general warranty deed with a UPI number 24-009-071. Does that sound correct?
Yep, those are the three tax parcels that are the subject of our application.
Okay, any objections to applicant one? Diane Leonard, Michael Leonard?
No.
So with that, applicant one will be admitted.
Okay. And then I also have a short exhibit booklet for the two witnesses that I have tonight. If I could, am I okay to hand those out before I call my witnesses?
Zach, are we marking the entire booklet as applicant two? Or did you want to, I'm going to let that up to you.
I think that we should probably, I think for ease of reference, maybe we do the entire booklet as exhibit A2. And then there are a series of four tabs, so A2 tab 1, A2 tab 2, A2 tab 3, A2 tab 4.
That's fine.
Scott, can you introduce yourself to the board, please?
Actually, I didn't see. Did you hand Diane my letter and a copy?
We're at 12.
Chuck.
Thank you. Davis. I'm an architect. I have 24 years of experience working for architecture firms, 17 years as a licensed architect. I'm a licensed architect in the state of Pennsylvania.
All right. Scott, Looking at the exhibit booklet, we have marked here, turning to A2 tab 1. Do you recommend that document?
I do.
And can you just explain to the board what that is?
This is a CV or a resume of for my current position at the firm I work for, listing role, listing the company I work for, and some select project experience that I've recently worked on.
Okay. And Scott, what's your educational background?
I have a Bachelor of Architecture from the University of Cincinnati.
All right. And where is your current office located?
I currently work out of our firm's Baltimore office.
All right. And are you a licensed architect in the state of California?
I am.
All right. And all of the information is presented on Exhibit A2, Tab 1. Is that true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and understanding?
That is.
All right. I would offer Mr. Davis as an expert in architecture.
Diane Leonard, Michael Leonard, any questions over this?
No, thank you.
No. Board members have any questions? I think we'll accept him as an expert in architecture.
Thank you. All right, so can you identify what is the address of the property that issued this evening?
Yeah, I know it's 339 West Chocolate Avenue, but I know it's also another property. I'm sorry. 267.
And are you familiar with this property?
I'm very familiar with the property, just not.
It's got multiple addresses.
Have you visited the property?
I have visited the property many times, yes. All right.
And in preparing materials for the hearing this evening, did you review the township ordinances?
I have reviewed the township ordinances.
Right. And did you, to the best of your ability, attempt to design the plans and the different images that we've produced tonight to comply with the township's ordinances?
I have.
All right. Now, we have projected up here, and we have in the exhibit booklet identified as A2 tab 2. This is a presentation. Can you just walk the board through this presentation as to the design of the building, the proposed design of the building?
I can. Thank you very much. What I put on the screen for the first several slides is the conditional use application plans. While I'm not an expert in the civil nature or civil design of these or the traffic, I did want to give you a sense, because these do show where the building sits in relationship to both West Chocolate Avenue and the surrounding buildings. The building that's proposed is the building in blue, and you can see that the site starts with a small section that abuts West Chocolate Avenue, continues back on both sides of L Street, and then sits predominantly on the railroad side of north side of First Avenue. As I continue with just the building orientation, you can see the building in blue. The major portions of the site, once L Street and First Street are kept as vehicular circulation, is a more squarish portion of the site, which you see on the east side, and an L-shaped portion on the west side. A lot of thought went into where we located the building on this property in terms of that, and the best application was really creating the most yield and the most efficiency of the building on the more rectangular site, and using the L-shape to be the parking lot that supported it. It was important to us to utilize the shape of the building to maintain the streetscape that you see when you travel down 422 in West Chocolate. So keeping a major portion of the building perpendicular to West Chocolate was important to us in terms of really creating a street edge, though it is back behind the Rite Aid parking lot. But it will be very much in view, and it was important to us to maintain that streetscape.
One point of clarification. Yep. These are not prepared necessarily by your office, correct?
These plans were not prepared by our office.
And these were prepared by the civil engineer who will be testifying at the next hearing, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So these are just being offered as to provide some context for the application currently, and then we'll move on to the the materials that were prepared by your office?
I think that's correct, and I can move on to continue beyond that. I just wanted to set kind of the orientation so when you saw these plans, you would kind of get a sense of how they sit on the site in terms of what we're talking about. The C-shape orientation, we looked at a lot of different layouts for the building on the site, and the reasons why the building is located the way it is a variety of important reasons. I already talked about the longer bar of the building really becoming perpendicular and creating a great street frontage for West Chocolate Avenue. It's also important that it has a very prominent entrance for the building so that it's easy to find for wayfinding residents and the public. The building does sit with a full ring road around it. That just kind of talks to the size of the building and where it sits on the site. The C shape also offers the opportunity for a courtyard, which is highly desirable for this resident group. Having the number of residents in the building that we have and having shared bedroom arrangements, which I'll talk about in a minute, the opportunity to have this outdoor separated amenity space that the residents could utilize was very important. So that they had a place to go to relax or to eat. Other important aspects of the layout of the building really connected to how the building connected to the pedestrian nature of Hershey. So you can see the main entrance here is becoming really well connected to First Street. The other important entrance that I'll show you is three-dimensionally is this secondary stair that sits on the back portion of the building. That also is, you can see, fully connected to the pedestrian circulation system. So having both main connections for the residents to the building connected to that sidewalk system was very important because predominantly they're going to be ones who utilize the city. They go out and have meals, go out and use, go to the grocery store. And they're going to walk for a lot of that use. And so having the building really well sited for that pedestrian application was important. The building is 190,000 gross square feet over six stories. But the read of the building from First Street and West Chocolate is going to be a five-story building. The reason for that is there's about a nine-foot grade drop on the site between First Street and this back edge of the property near the railroad tracks. And so we're able to tuck a partial lower level in. That's that sixth floor on the back portion of the site. Several things that does is that also offers the third main point of entrance for the building, which is this arrow here. This arrow is actually pointing at an entrance that's a level below this, because this is now on grade with the parking lot. So residents who can use the parking lot can go in a second entrance to the building and aren't walking out onto First Street. The building has two elevator cores. There's a passenger elevator core in this corner and a service elevator core in that corner. Those allow those elevators to completely get to both entrances. So depending on which door residents use, they would have access to that. Just to show you, the building is, said earlier, is 118 units. It's 103 units, which are apartments in a mix of two bedrooms and three bedroom apartments. One of those is a one bedroom unit, which is this blue unit for property manager that's adjacent to the lobby, live-in property manager. But again, 103 of those are two and three bedroom units predominantly. 15 are short-term stay units that are on that lower level, and I can show you that in a minute. But the yellow boxes that you see on the plan, those are the two and three bedroom units as again, I go through the series of plans. Also on this first floor, besides lobby, there's a training, open meeting room, property management office, and mail. It's predominantly what's on here. The red box is the non-residential suite that is a requirement of the text amendment. It is a 1,200 square foot rental suite. It is not connected internally to the building, to the other spaces in the building, but has two dedicated exterior entrances that can be rented by a leasee, either office use or light retail use. And I'll show how that is represented on the facade and it's treated in an upscale way to make that a desirable suite with adjacent parking. This is that lower level. You can see the dark gray is the grade of the earth that sort of comes into play. So you can start to see, really, this is the only area of site that's worth a story as you go deeper on the site. The purple rooms are these short-term stay guest rooms, so they do not have a kitchen. All of the other units, the other 103 units, have kitchens. These units only have bathrooms and bedrooms. This is only for... This is for those organizations when they have a need for either an employee or a student that only needs a night or two of stay. They would be able to utilize these. It has a family lounge space for this group down here and a separate lobby. Again, this is now here's where you can see where you can come into a vestibule from the parking lot at that lower level and be able to utilize those rooms or connect up to the rest of the space. The rest of this lower level is all the service, utility, and loading functionality for the building. We've got a loading zone that falls on the backside of that loop road that's then also directly connected to where the dumpsters will be planned. You can see, again, this is that decorative stair that we really want to encourage use of the residents to use and directly connects to that courtyard and out toward West Chocolate.
Scott, quickly before we move off of this slide,
yep.
And those short term units you're talking about, those are the units that are referred to without cooking facilities. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and the intended occupants of those would be prospective students of the Milton Hershey schools, right?
It's prospective students and their families. I think it is talked about to be used for recruitment, you know, incoming staff that need to stay for a job interview for either the school or the Hershey Entertainment Resorts.
Or the Hershey? I didn't hear the end of your sentence.
Entertainment Resorts. Yeah. These are the typical floors, so floors 2, 3, 4, and 5 that sit above the entrance lobby. These floors are predominantly all units. You can see the 2 and 3 bedroom units are in yellow. We do want to create some common space within the building, and we also want to locate it in a meaningful way. And you'll see we've located lounges on the ends of the corridors. We love the idea of those stacking vertically. Those can be lit in the evening. They can show activity. And we love the idea that they can look out over downtown Hershey, over Hershey Park, over West Chocolate Avenue. So we put those in a location that allows residents to really experience those parts of the city. There's also a quiet room and vending to kind of round out the upper floors. One additional thing that I'd like to say about the site is one thing before I get into the exterior design and talk about kind of the inspiration of the look and feel of the project is we really love the history of this site. And I'm sure you guys are aware, but from 1927 to 1971, it was the Hershey Lumber Company. And the Hershey Lumber Company was involved with so many of the buildings that you guys love around town and make Hershey what it is. And so for us to really use the history of the Hershey Lumber Company and the legacy of the Hershey Lumber Company as inspiration, both for design, branding, and material selection, to really speak to that was important to us. We've also engaged the archives, and we'll use lithographs, photographs, memorabilia copies throughout the project to really speak to that story of the Hershey Lumber Company, and you'll start to see that in the look and the feel of the project that we're really trying to integrate it throughout the project in branding and site. The exterior design. This first look is if you're standing on the corner of First Street and L Street. So we're about 200 feet in from West Chocolate Avenue. This is the primary facade that faces West Chocolate Avenue. The style of the building designed for the front wing, we really wanted to speak to something contextual and something that fell into what the core downtown core design guide standards really was looking for. And so the style of this building is pulling from both both the legacy of the Hershey Lumber Company and also a mercantile-style building. The Hershey Lumber Company had a four-story mercantile-style building that sat just inside the first row of houses on 422 on West Chocolate as part of that complex. And so utilizing some of the same language of that is something we wanted to recreate here. Not a facsimile, but use that as an inspiration. Elements of mercantile style that both the downtown core design guide speak to and we utilize on projects is mostly masonry facade, large repeating rectangular bays, grouping of windows to unitize into larger groups, smaller scale trim creating multi-pane windows, also really creating a hierarchy of the building facade organization that there's a clear delineation to base, middle, and top. Those are all very traditional mercantile building elements that we really wanted to kind of use as our background for this building as it sits on view to West Chocolate. We break that language to highlight elements. So we break that with a large extended canopy to really mark that entrance and give an indication of where that main entrance is. We use a smaller canopy to mark that non-residential suite that sits on the corner of that 1,200 square foot suite. And then we also use some embellishment and materiality changes on that corner to really kind of highlight that as an accent. That's that stack of common spaces that'll be lit at night and residents will see activity in and you'll be able to view. You can see the drop-off that sits out front that the civil engineer will describe in detail. But again, that all just kind of speaks to building that entrance. You can start to see the other wing beyond. There's that glassy stair that we really want to encourage use on. There's wood elements that we're incorporating throughout, again, to really tie in to the Hershey Lumber Company. There's a heavy timber frame that's exposed on the stair. There's wood views on the undersides of canopies and roofs. We're really trying to tie that connection in with opportunities with the materiality of the project. Signage, we're trying to use signage that really keeps in the character and style of these buildings. We're using a painted mural art band up at the upper level that really starts to help define that middle and that top. The smaller canopy mounted signage both to denote the non-commercial space and the main entrance, and then a monument sign to really denote wayfinding. Because as you know, that parking is tucked behind both the Leonard's property and around the corner. So we really want to help anyone who comes, particularly the short-term residents who may be coming for the first time, to be able to find the parking. The materials that we're recommending, the red brick is the Glengarry 58DD, which is the predominant mix, red mix, brick mix that's been used throughout downtown Hershey. And so we love the idea that that'll start to tie it to its context even more. We're proposing a light, smooth gray as a masonry base to really start to speak to the limestone base that is on many of the buildings in Hershey. So trying to keep the vernacular of the materials very consistent with other contexts. The rest of the building, you can see where the masonry continues to wrap, and it wraps that front wing on both sides all the way around. So whether you're approaching from either side on 422, when you look at that wing, you'll see that full brick facade. The rest of the building is a little different, though. It has a masonry base, so the entire base of the building for the first level where it's below is masonry brick. And then the rest is fiber cement. Though in this case, it's a block format fiber cement, so it's not the hardy lap siding that you maybe are familiar with. This will be a completely flush block format that will be very much in keeping with the mercantile style than something residential of a lap. These fiber cement panels are all painted. They're all proposed to be painted with either colors in the Sherman Williams or Benjamin Moore Historic Collection. the red is a really great match for the brick, and we're really happy with that connection. You can see here, this is that second entrance. This is that lower entrance for residents to get in from the parking lot directly into that lower level. This is the back drive of the lot. You can see there's that loading zone. Here's the other lounge, glassy stack of common spaces. And then here's a better shot of the wood raft stair, glassy stair, utilizing some exposed metal structure, again, to tie to the lumber yard. And then we like the idea of mimicking in the paving some reference to the railroad tracks, because there was a spur that came through the middle of the factory for the Hershey Lumber Company. Maybe setting the idea of setting a decorative instop to the railroad track with a panel with some historic information describing the lumber company. You can see in the courtyard the idea of just a simple shade pavilion, again, kind of black metal and another opportunity to get wood into the project. This is also a wood fiber cement, so again, any opportunity we can to add elements and touches of wood to tie into that language. And here's where you can see the extent of the full brick facade as it wraps around. The last view is the view from Chocolate. This is really standing at the corner of Chocolate and L. The front wing is a little bit shorter than the back wing, which gives this, we really love the idea of this kind of expanded view, that you don't just read a single large building, but you really start to read a collection of those elements. You can see the glass stair, you can see the stacked of both of the common spaces as they light up, as well as it really creates what is now a vacant lot, a much more stronger streetscape presence for 422.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. I just want to touch on a few issues, or just make sure that we're addressing the requirements of the ordinance.
Yep.
You had referenced that this is a downcourt core overlay design standards. Could you review those in the plans?
I did.
All right. And are you confident that in kind of fleshing out the remainder of this design to land development and kind of that process, that we can comply with the requirements of that guide, those standards?
I do.
And will the minimum floor area for each unit, will that comply with the requirements of the Uniform Construction Code?
It will.
And I think that you briefly touched on these, but can you go into provide a little more detail about what the noise abatement strategies and the design for the building would be?
Yeah, I think there's several noise abatement strategies. In tune, some of them work really well with the energy conservation and sustainability standards we also have, because sealing the building up extremely well on the outside, providing additional wall insulation, STC rated glass glazing, all of those create a building that keeps noise in. We're also, as a design team, worried about the noise of the railroad track actually bothering the residents. So I think it's going to work both ways to create a pretty solid wall system. The orientation of creating the C shape of the building actually turns about 40% of the units inward as well. So that's another way of doing it. We're also the roof insulation is also going to be, it's also going to do a good job of keeping the noise in, as well as I know the operations and procedures of the and rules for the residents is also part of that strategy.
Now, Scott, I'm going to read to you the stated purpose of the Hershey Mixed-Use District. To retain varying intensities of pedestrian-oriented businesses, residences, neighborhood forms, and regional attractions that complement and respect the township's traditional, historic, and cultural core. In your professional opinion as an expert architect, do you feel that the way that this building has been designed, that it complies with that purpose of the zoning ordinance?
Absolutely.
All right. And in your professional opinion, will the proposed use detract from the use and enjoyment of adjoining or nearby properties?
It will not.
And will the proposed use have any effect on the character of the surrounding neighborhood?
I think it will. It's a vacant lot today. I think the opportunity to really fill that vacant gap in the experience as you go along West Chocolate with a rich building that feels contextual and feels like it belongs there, I think we'll benefit it greatly.
So in your opinion, it would be a positive?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would.
Okay. I have no further questions.
With that, Diane and Leonard and Michael Leonard, I'm not sure how you want to proceed. You want to...
Could they show slide the third page under tab 2, the site plan, please? Just for record purposes, so you understand the white building there that says Michael Leonard's Plumbing is the building in the middle of it all.
Understood. Do you have any questions?
Oh, no.
Diane, do you have any questions?
No, thank you very much.
Board members, do you have any questions on this witness at this point?
Thank you for all of the pictures and for showing us what it would look like. I think you mentioned that at some point in Hershey's history, there was a big building back here.
So there was actually a whole complex. The Hershey Lumber Company actually extended. So the lots for the Hershey Lumber Company, if I go back one, actually, so you can see where it says Hershey Plaza right before you get to Ridge Road. Hershey Lumber Company went all the way from the just inside the car barn where our left edge of our property, all the way past Hershey Plaza, all the way to Ridge Road. And it had multiple major warehouse buildings. It had a really cool gantry crane that came between them that looked like probably a precursor for a Hershey Park amusement ride. But it also had maybe more of the office warehouse component, more closer to West Chocolate. And it sat, there was a row of houses, much like past M Street, there's a row of this sort of single family houses. There was this, a row of single family houses that ran between Ridge and L Street, and it sat just inside of those.
But it was multi stories, like this the building.
Yes, well, they were all multi. It's hard to know how tall they were because a lot of them were gable roofed or big hip roofed warehouses, but very much so. They were all 3-4 stories in height.
Thank you. Sure. The other question, maybe this is for the civil engineer. In looking at the plans previously, the little kind of like green space that juts out there, how does that fit in? Just because I'm not understanding that, just that little tiny piece of green space that's way over there that says it will be added to that. Is that just green space?
No. So that property is on record as one of the deeds. I'm not an expert in that, but it is a parcel that's part of this property.
But nothing's developed there, just going to be green
space. There's nothing planned to be developed there.
Is it currently green space now? I'm not like trying to...
Yeah, it's an overgrown.
I think it's undeveloped. I think it's green because there's grass, but...
It's not a public green space.
There's some pine trees there now?
Yeah.
It's right edge of them, right?
Okay. I think right now, we're not really proposing any improvements in that specific area.
Okay, that was my only question. Thank you.
And I just want to clarify that you had referenced, and it makes sense, the residents of the building, probably the more appropriate term is occupants, right? Because these folks will be directly related to the Milton Hershey, used by the Milton Hershey School and Hershey Entertainment for short-term stays, not the kinds of stays that are associated with hotels, and not the really long-term stays associated with apartments. It's this sort of short-term duration, very specifically delineated uses from the Milton Hershey School and Hershey Entertainment. So I just as we talk about it, it makes more sense. When we talk about residents, it sounds like an apartment building or a hotel, and I don't want anybody to be confused with that because that was the whole...
I think that's a very good point.
Sure.
And we will be having testimony from a representative of the Hershey Trust that can speak to the specific operational, but I think that's a really good point to make. You know, we are fully intending and complying with requirements in the zoning ordinance related to the length of occupancy and who the occupants can be for the building.
I think one more thing about occupants that I know we wanted to touch on, it is planned to only have 2 occupants per bedroom. Both outfitted, and so a 3-bedroom could only ever have more 6 occupants total. A 2-bedroom could only have 4 occupants total, and that's per the requirements of the tenants.
I have a few.
Go ahead. Any of these, if any of the other board members have questions, I will refer you guys to the first. If you look at, I just want to make sure that the numbers are right. I guess it's at A2, tab 2, is the last page. So proposed is 57 three bedrooms.
Yes, so we have 57 three bedrooms, 45 two bedrooms.
And is that one bedroom?
One bedroom. That's the property manager's live-in bedroom.
And the 15 guests, those are the short term.
Those are the short term stay on that.
Without kitchen.
Without kitchens. Correct.
And you're familiar with the ordinance provisions. Is it your testimony that the applicant is proposing to comply with all the ordinance provisions set forth in section 225-501.56?
That's just the conditional use criteria?
Correct.
For that use? Yes. I mean,
all of
our testimony cumulatively will establish that we're...
Mr. Davis, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're familiar with the provision in the ordinance that requires the applicant to show or at least develop it in a manner that allows for the resident or the occupants to walk and potentially get picked up by a transit center to be taken to their employer or their school, Hershey School or the Hershey and H&R. Can you go through one of the architectural depictions to show, is there a, and with the understanding that you're not the civil or the traffic engineer, can you just, is that the best slide that shows where the transit will be picking up?
Yeah, so there is a pull-off bus zone size for two full Milton Hershey school buses in length that sits with full covered canopy and vestibule adjacent to that specifically for that use.
And just out of curiosity, you're an architect, right?
I am.
So you've designed apartment complexes before?
I have.
Did you, when you were designing this structure with the understanding that it's specific to employees and student housing, did you design the units and the complex in a manner different than you would a normal apartment complex? And if so, how?
We did. I would say the biggest difference is because the possibility exists that there's people in different bedrooms that aren't related. We do have laboratories, so the sinks are always outboard of the bathrooms, so that someone could be taking a shower and someone could be using the sink at the same time, knowing that there could be some functionality advantages to that for when you're living with maybe two, three roommates that you don't know and you don't want to be in the bathroom at the same time. Multifamily housing, we would probably have a more traditional full bathroom with sink, toilet and shower all within the same bathroom. That's probably the biggest. Other than multifamily apartments, probably wouldn't have these lounge spaces on each floor that are suitable for the ability of having four or six people with a single living room within your unit, the ability to get away and find some space away from maybe multiple roommates was important. So that's why there's quiet rooms, lounges, outdoor space that is as quiet and available for them. Those are some differences, I would say, off of a multifamily that's trying to market and really get folks into the project. I'd also say the units are all the same, so they're a quality. You don't have a mix like in market family or where you're trying to market and provide options for folks, because this is specifically for a group of people that isn't choosing to move there, that it's being provided for them. All of the units are equitable and are of the same size.
No, I appreciate that. And again, on A2, tab 2, the last page, and I may have missed it the first time, but the lounge you just testified to are the two orange spots and the quiet room is also orange, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And that's something that wouldn't go in a normal apartment complex?
That's something that would not happen in a normal multifamily apartment complex.
Okay. I think that's all I have.
Actually, do you have a question? Many of the perspective views, there's images of school bus. Will there be buses taking students back and forth from the campus to the apartment building?
It's not the intent of any students that are currently enrolled in the school living here.
I was just confused.
That is the additional buses that Milton Hershey School has to to transport folks to. So the idea that the design could accommodate
not necessarily students, but prospective students,
prospective students, employees,
student teachers working in the school.
Got it. Correct.
Yeah. It can speak more to that, the operational aspect of how that would work.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. One more. I'm sorry. Square footage. Did you cover that? Square footage of the one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom.
The three bedroom is 1350. The two bedroom is 990. I think the one bedroom is like 660. Again, that's a single unit. But I think it's around 660.
And you don't have any architectural depictions of the inside of any of these units, do you?
I don't have a unit plan. You can see the unit plan in this. I know you got a 8.5 by 11 copy of something much larger. But they are, you know, all the unit plans are kind of in gray there. I'm sorry I don't have something zoomed in.
And I would just also reiterate that this is kind of the conditional use phase, so this will all be further refined and kind of sanded down into the specifics as we go through the process.
I can say that each unit it predominantly just has bedrooms, a single living space, a single kitchen, and bathrooms. So there's no dens, there's no additional spaces to those. Those are the arrangement of all those. Whether there's three bedrooms or two bedrooms, it's a single living space and a single kitchen.
So they're pretty similar to like a college suite, like a college dorm suite, where there's folks that are, you know, there's the separate bathroom and separate bedrooms, like a college campus.
They could
somewhere.
Be. Yes, there are college housing that's built like that.
So I think you testified there's just one bedroom.
On this
floor here. That you have up in the bottom right corner, there is that mislabeled?
Yeah, that's mislabeled. That's
okay.
A two-bedroom.
Just wanted to be clear.
Yeah,
very large one-bedroom.
Just wanted to be clear.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Any other questions of this witness from the board? Do you have any follow-up, Zach?
No, I have no follow-up questions.
Okay. I have one. It is 7 o'clock. I'm not sure how the board wants to proceed. Do you want to continue with the hearing or come up with some dates? So, Zach, I know you have another witness here tonight. It looks like we might have to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk we run. Obviously, we want the board to have, you know, the opportunity to ask whatever questions we can ask. So
with scheduling, I'm actually going to defer to Chris and or Chuck to see when.
So I do have a calendar that I can project for when the meeting room is available. If you ask me my projections, okay?
Absolutely.
Mr. Kaufman. No. We didn't get to you tonight. What's happening is we've run out of time. You will be afforded an opportunity to make a statement before this board, but we're going to be continuing tonight's hearing to another night.
All right.
If you stick around, you'll know what date we're going to continue it to.
Okay.
All
right.
So what I'm projecting right now is August. We're on the 22nd, where it says 7 p.m. Board of Supervisors meeting. So I don't know what people are looking for next week. I also have September, October.
Zach, how much time do you anticipate for your... you have three more witnesses or four?
Four more witnesses. We have our engineer, traffic engineer, our financial impact expert, and then Ken will speak to operations. So, I mean, considering we went through one witness in an hour, I think that our financial impact expert should not be as lengthy. So maybe an hour for each of the other ones. So maybe three and a half, maybe 4 hours. depending on witness availability, we can adjust if, you know, if there's a day that the board's available and one of our witnesses isn't, we can try and put them on a different day.
How does the next week on the 29th or 30th of the evening work for board members?
Tuesday, 29th would work for us.
29th. For township staff, Chuck and Chris, and our staffers, could we do 29th?
We can.
Will that be enough time for me to get
assist?
Do you want this on the record, Pat?
This doesn't have to be on.
Because I can't see you still.
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be any publication of notice. Obviously, notice can be put on the township website.
What we're going to do is on the record, we're going to continue the hearing to a date certain, time certain, location certain, and then maybe we'll still send out a quick notice. But as long as we get on the record, can continue this hearing to the next hearing, we should be fine.
Do the letters, do you have a problem with the 29th, August 29th? So it sounds like, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like the August 29th works, and perhaps we start again at 6 p.m. And how long would the board like to go on August 29th?
Two, three.
If we schedule one for August 29th, we can try to, you know, do it all in 3 hours.
Yeah. Let's have a second one scheduled.
Well, we will have to schedule a second one just in case we have a long time or public comment, because we have to do that. So why don't we do the 29th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pat will put all this on the record in a second. So I just want to make sure we're all understanding what we're saying. So 29th from 6 to 9. All right, then we're going to have to go to the next week after today.
Don't let my availability in September affect your decision.
How does the 6th or the 7th work for folks?
Just as a point, our traffic engineer has a conflict on the 29th, but I think we can go our other three witnesses, our engineer, our financial expert, and the operations, and we'll just defer the transportation testimony to the next hearing, if that's okay with the board.
Thursday was the 7th. Thursday, September 7th, work is the second date.
Fine.
Give me a second. I'll text him a lot.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Better reserve a lot of time for your traffic. if these conditional use hearings are any indication of where we spend our time, and if you can control Mr. Gall, keep him on a tight leash.
One word answer. Yes or no?
Yes. Waiting for Mr. Malott. Okay, yes. So September 7th, we would start it at 6. Let's say 6 to 9, but the goal is to be done well before 9 o'clock, because we have to have public comments, so we can't cut that short. So if we need the full 3 hours, we'll take it, but if we're done at 6:30 or 7 with testimony, we can finish public comment at, you know, another 30 minutes after that. We'll all be done. Does that make sense to everybody? It's good for the letter. It's
okay. Good.
So, Matt, you want to put down on the record the dates and times?
Sure. I'll just have to skip a meeting.
We're ready to go on the record?
Go on the record.
So, it's my understanding that all the parties have agreed that we're going to continue this evening's hearing to a date and time certain here at Derry Township Municipal Building. This hearing will be continued. It is continued until August 29th, 2023, at 6 p.m.
and with the anticipation that it'll go until 9 p.m. at the Derry Township Municipal Building. And then thereafter, it's also anticipated that we'll have a following hearing on September 7th, 2023 at 6 p.m. So with that, unless there's anything else from the applicant that's agreeable, next hearing, August 29th at 6 p.m.
That is agreeable. No change.
Mr. and Mrs. Leonard, August 29th at 6 p.m. is agreeable?
Agreeable.
Okay. We're going to call this hearing continue until August 29th, 2023 at 6 p.m.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.